AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
We was ashy. Bro, we was ashy.
We were messed up, man. Three times, bro. Like, to a point where like, I pointed it, bro. Like, it munched it, bro. Like,
we saw them.
You see the person is just like waking up, like their spirit is kind of waking up, but they've got some spirit in there.
You know how to be Zimbabwe warrior. Yo, what's going on, people? Welcome to our very first episode of Culture and Caves. I'm your boy AK, culture critic, professional overthinker, and also Saza enthusiastic.
And I'm Driz. You already know, man. Me and my brother were just starting a podcast called Culture and Curves. You know how it goes. So if you know about culture, my brother will tell you more about curves there. What's the curve?
You
want
to put me on the spot already? Yeah, obviously we're gonna discuss what it is. Yeah. But I think like first things that we're gonna do in this episode, we're gonna talk about, you know, ourselves, who we are,
course,
and we're gonna run through like a few topics, like, you know, things like what they don't tell you when you come to the UK, or just like, you know, in Europe and stuff. And then, you know, like also things, why are we losing our culture? But first things first, like, I think we want to talk about, like, you know, who we really are. And like, but before we get into that, I want to say, like, you know, a massive shout out to everyone that's like, you know, joining us. You know, we've been thinking about this thing for like a minute.
Time, bro.
Yeah, man. But I think now's the time, and we've done it, man. Yeah.
So if you're seeing this video for the first time, please hit subscribe. Join us on this journey. It would be an honor, man. It'd be nice to see you guys support us and, you know, give us more energy, more positivity to always keep you guys updated with content and keep pushing, you know, positive vibes. That's how we go. Positive vibes.
Yeah, man. And also there's like a lot of things that we want to talk about, you know, in the next few episodes. Yeah. Things that are interesting, like, you know, what's happening in the world in terms of, like, you know, not just Africa, but just culture in general. But obviously I think, like, because we obviously from Africa, we got that those deep roots that we want to explore, because we still want to learn about our culture, roots, about, you know, where we come from. But first, you want to, you know, talk about who we are, who's Driz, man.
Hey, who's Driz, bro? You know, you almost said something there, bro. But hey, my name's Driz. Everyone knows me as Driz from social media, Instagram. Follow me, King Driz. And I'm a musician. Part-time. I want to be full-time though, but I want to collaborate with a lot of people. I think I make all right music. I'm a nice humble guy. I don't cause trouble.
Trouble,
I just
want peace.
Small.
you speaking Niger now.
You see, they say show them where they know they see them now.
What thing be this now?
We are here. We are talking about culture.
This is culture. Anyway, I'm AK, man. Like, this is my brother Driz, obviously. I don't really know what it is about me. Like, you know, I just I'm interested in like politics, culture, you know, especially like African culture, where we come from, Pan-Africanism. And I've always had like this idea of like wanting to learn a little bit more about our culture. So the things that I like is just culture, cars every day, like, you know, Formula One, Red Bull, obviously, Max Verstappen. Shout out to the Red Bull fans, man. You know what I'm saying? As we go on, there's like a lot of things that you're gonna learn about us, and obviously we're gonna learn about ourselves as well, because you know, sometimes like you learn as you go. You learn yourself sometimes. You're like, oh, this is me, but then really it's not really you, innit? But who we really are, I think, like, a lot of people know that we are brothers. This is my brother, you might look a little bit older than me, but really I'm the older
I'm taken as well.
I'm
married.
Hey, no, man, where's the ring?
You see that one, bro? Yeah, we just have to when we're working, we keep that one. somewhere, just after work, we'll put it on.
This guy, man. So yeah, I think like, because this is our first video, so it's a little bit I wouldn't say hard, but like there's
a little chill.
Yeah, you know, for me, I think there's like emotions, a lot of emotions, because like, I'm like, this is the moment that we've been trying to work towards. But Driz, like, why are we even doing this podcast, man? Like, what's on your, from your perspective, why are we doing it, bro?
Is that I feel like, right, there's a lot of things we talk about, like I said, on the phone, you know, there's a lot of things we talk about on the phone, bro. I feel like some people kind of need to hear it.
Okay.
You know, it's like nowadays I realize you can have these conversations that we have on the phones, but we can't have these conversations outside, in the outside world. So I feel like we're in our own safe space right now where we're doing our own thing. It's our own podcast. You know, we're inside, we're not outside screaming at everybody, having our conversation, and someone gets offended. So in this podcast, we're not just like, on this podcast journey, we're not just going over culture stuff, we're going through
there's a lot, especially like, you know, things that are happening in you know, Africa, like, you know, Congo, all these wars that are happening, man. Like, sometimes you look at the stuff and the, like, you know, online, and you see these things, it's like, this thing shouldn't really be happening. But for me, I think the reason why, you know, we're doing this podcast, from my side, I think like, we don't really see each other a lot.
That's true.
Especially like, you know, with work, with life, we like kind of struggle to maybe meet up and, you know, have a chat. But I think this is like the opportunity for us to have that moment once a week or whatever, twice a week, you know, just to like, you know, chat about things. And I think this is the space for us to talk some real stuff, and also like, you know, get kind of closer, because I feel like when we were young, we were not really that close. We were closer to like other like, you know, everyone else, like our siblings. I was like kind of like the lone wolf, like
you were the outsider, bro.
I was like the outside, everyone else was like, yeah.
You ever seen like a celebrity, like, oh, my man's coming home, yeah, he's special, that one, you know.
It wasn't even like that,
you know.
But you're not even understanding, guys, man. Crazy. Like, for me, I wanted, you know, to be included, but then like I felt like everyone was just like not feeling me that way.
You know what I think it is, yeah. I feel like we kind of had, because you had to go away because of school,
boarding hell, man.
So for us left behind, it was more like we had to connect with that like the, let's just say, farming sort of lifestyle, nature sort of.
I did farm, man. I know how to farm, man, bro.
I know you do, but I'm talking about, how do you even say in English, like, looking after cows and that in the world?
Yeah, I did that, man.
But one time you complained.
What do you mean I complained, bro?
You see, you're not doing it. So from there, we just saw, like, I'm not doing that, you know, because we've been doing that for time. So uncle was like,
I did before you were young.
I know, bro. Exactly. But then it's just that, I don't know, because I feel like we were close. And then when you went away to boarding school and all that, I was like, damn. My brother's gone. So now, I think I got close to my cousin. And it was chill that stuff, way. Yeah. And then I was like, damn, my brother just comes in once every...
I could have the beep that way.
That one, but you know, it comes once every, what?
After three months,
bro. Yeah. Like, nah, that's mad, that. So I kind of like felt left out myself. Like, because I didn't understand this logic of boarding school at the time, because I was young, because you left when I was mad young, bro. So I was thinking, rah, he's gone. Now man's just going to have to firm it. So I just grew up like, let's say I was close to cousin, but at the same time, I was just be like myself, innit?
I got it off
grandpa. Just looking after cows and sheep and all that stuff. I just became like an animal sort of person.
And like, you were the ones that was like naming the dogs, yeah,
the,
and
the
stuff
dogs
like
and
that.
Everything,
like some
bro.
Crap names as well.
Crap names, didn't I? I was bringing crap names, bro. But we did have a dog called Sport. I don't know if you remember that
remember
dog,
Sport,
and he just
man.
Ran off, bro.
Yeah, man, disappeared, didn't
it? Ran off. He chased a bus, bro. Was it a bus? I think it was a
bus,
man, bro. He
gone,
just
man.
Went. I was like, rah. That dog is gone. But how was it even close to Sport? I think one of her uncles was, yeah. though, and then it just disappeared, man. That was a sad time.
Yeah, but I think, like, you know, another reason as well why we like doing this is because, like, you know, the way we grew up, I think, like, we grew up differently,
yeah,
because
yeah.
you were a bit younger, obviously, yeah. like, and by that time I was like a little bit, I wouldn't say like woken up, but I was
like
old enough to kind of understand the things and stuff. So I feel like now is like the time to like maybe talk about those things, because we never really spoken about like, you know, how was my life at boarding school. Like, no one in my family, like, you know, our family, I don't think anyone knows how.
No one knows, like,
because like everyone thought like it was like, oh, this luxury and stuff, yeah, but it wasn't really. It was difficult, man. It was hell, bro. Like, but it made me who I am. But yeah. I'll say, like, you know, it made me in terms of like survival.
I think you matured quicker.
Yeah, it kind of made me, like, you know, have those survival, you know, like in life.
Yeah.
But then, like, I think the other person that made us who we are as people was our grandma.
Oh yeah.
It's because, like, if it wasn't for her, we wouldn't really be like having these, maybe, I don't know, like seeing the world the way we see it.
Yeah.
Or like having the respect of, like, you know, the elders and stuff like that.
Hey, let's just not forget it, because it's a first episode. Obviously, we're not trying to ask people for much, but at the same time, please follow us on Instagram, Culture and Curves, on every platform.
Culture and Curves Pod.
That's literally, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, we are. And
obviously,
right there.
If you've got any feedbacks, you know, we will really appreciate that, as we are, like, you know, trying to navigate this world, you know. I think, like, you asked me what does the curve curves the mean curve, you know, for me, I feel like the curves is basically, you know, like how in life there's like these unexpected turns and twists that, like, you know, your life will be like so perfect, or everything's just so aligned, and then all of a sudden there's like things are just going left, right, center. Yeah. There's so many curves and twists and stuff. So I think that was one of the ideas that I kind of, you know, put it on the on the name, say, like, you know, let's say Culture and Curves, because we are very, like, for my side, like, very critical when it comes to our culture. Sometimes when I say our culture, I'm like, that's not really, like, you know, what's going on, because, like, you know, the way I grew up personally, it's not the way, like, things are here, basically. Like, it's like you have to kind of adjust, and, you know, so I think,
for me, to be honest, even for me.
So I think, like, now we're just gonna, like, try and jump into our first topic, which is, like, you know, the things that they don't tell you
when you move
abroad, especially like the UK, because obviously here we kind of moved here. And what was, like, your experience?
I'm not gonna lie, bro.
How are you, like, navigating all that stuff, man? Like,
my first experience here, moving here, you know when you're on the plane, and you're looking down, it's looking all green, bro. You're thinking, woo, because you don't see, I didn't see green like that, you
know? Man,
I only saw green when we was traveling,
man.
Like, let's say we're going to Harare, we're going to SA,
but those were like patches, though.
They were patches,
like,
right?
Where they're farming or whatever.
It looked nice, bro. You know, because I wanted that sort of lifestyle for myself in the future, right? Which I still do. But let's just take it back to when I was moving here. Boom, I'm on a plane. Yeah, we was on a plane at the same time. I'm seeing the green, the farm sort of lifestyle down there. I'm thinking, that's how it's gonna be. Sweet.
It's sweet, man.
Yeah, it's looking nice.
Green pasture.
It's looking breathable, bro. It's looking nice. The nature just seems nice. Like, I can breathe nicely, bro. Then, I was excited, bro. We went to Burger King when we landed, didn't it?
Yeah. Like,
I think Burger King or McDonald's. At that time, we thought, damn, this food is different, right? Because over there,
we used to, like, serve that. Yeah. You know, that's cool. We didn't grow up in the city. We grew up in the real areas.
They told me, you remember when we was flying, they said, you're going to be eating rice and chicken. That's it. Nothing else. No salsa. Forget about it. I was like, what? So, obviously, coming here, going to Burger King, I thought, okay, not bad, you know. Then we went to Tesco, bro. I thought, damn, this looks nice, bro. I thought, damn, everything, you see the food, everything. Not saying we didn't have food there. Don't get it twisted.
You can walk in the shops with your bags.
Yeah, you can.
Like, in Zimbabwe, you can't do that. You have to leave your bags in, like, a locker or something.
It's crazy.
Bro.
But I didn't know that, you know, till now. But after Tesco's, I thought, yeah, it's sweet. Went to the yard, the house, I thought it's nice. But then I did that for like, what, 2 months? I was like, yeah. Because I walked into Tesco a couple of times when I was going to school, like, what, when I started school. So that was
four months.
So, yeah, it just started changing. I was like, nah, you know what, it's all right. But getting back into what I don't tell you about moving abroad, I'd say just know people are going to look at you differently.
Yeah, man. I feel like for me, right, there's like, I think this topic is like really like in depth. It's a really long topic, but we're just going to like cover the basics and stuff. Like you said, you know, when we came here, bro, I was excited, like way more excited. I remember like we landed at the airport.
We was ashy. Bro, we was ashy.
We were messed up, man.
Can't believe it, bro. No one even said anything. Mom didn't say nothing.
I was wearing like Manchester United hat, the red one.
We was ashy, bro. But I'm pretty sure people thought we're coming straight from the boat.
Bro, like, bro, for real, man.
Bro,
like,
we was not even boat, bro. We was under the moving truck, bro.
Like, I remember like we landed and then we jumped in the motorway. Yeah. I thought, wow. This road is like, we're going just like highway to heaven or something, bro. Yeah, because we never really seen roads like that, you know.
Even the rain, bro, was just immaculate, bro. You know, in the window,
bro, drive. And like, you know, as time went on, bro, I was like, man, this is just it is, it's just it is what it is, man. Yeah, yeah. It was, but I think for me, bro, there was like a few embarrassing moments, when I realized that, like, damn, I'm really. Really not for here. Like, I'm really not from here. I'm not built for this. Yeah, like, I remember I went to college, bro. Because, you know, obviously another thing is like the accent, bro, is so different. You know, like, and the word pronunciation is so different. Like, I remember like the words like in Zim is like, oh, you're mad, but here it's like, oh, you're mad, bro. You know.
Happy birthday. Why do we have that though?
Hey, happy birthday.
Birthday. No, it is that way, right? Is it birthday or birthday? Which bro?
Man, anyway, so I went to college, bro. And you know, I think that's my first or second week, bro. Yeah. I went to the canteen to get some food, Bro, obviously like, everyone is queuing up, getting some food, bro. So obviously I can't really pronounce words,
I can tell where this one's going.
And even to this day, sometimes I struggle with words, Bro, I went there, bro, got everything. So I got to the fruit area. They're like, what do you want? I said, I want an apple.
Apple.
They're like, what? I said, I want an apple. What's that? And bro, I did it 3 times, bro. Like, to a point where like I pointed it, bro, like a monkey, bro, like like a hungry monkey, bro. I was like, nah. And she goes, oh, you mean an apple? I said,
it was an English lady.
It was an English lady.
They're like, what's that? Sorry,
bro. She said an apple. I said, yeah. And she's like, oh, right, bro. Everyone is around me, bro. I'm like dead ass embarrassed, bro. I'm like,
oh man.
This is crazy, bro. I was like, man, that was like proper embarrassing moment. From then, man, I realized, man, my English is no Englishing, bro. It's like, it's different, bro. Like, there's so many different things. Like, you know, when you over there, you see the UK on like TV and stuff, you're thinking, wow, this is like, you know.
Yeah, because we don't look at it like that. We just think it's people,
bro.
Just different skin.
Yeah.
You know, we're not getting to racist stuff. But I'm just saying, like, you know, because we used to see white people in our, you know, like, in our area.
Yeah,
like,
area? Which area, bro?
Zim, bro.
Zim where?
You see, this is what I said. This guy is an outsider. We saw them.
In Plumtree.
You know, exactly, yes. You know where they sell cows?
Oh, what's that guy, Mbogoto? The one who used to buy cows, like a lot of cows.
Yeah, but I'm saying, I don't know Mbogoto, innit? But I seen the people, you know, I seen the white people. And all the time, because there's kids, you're very excited. You don't look at race, like, in different ways. Like, you don't really pay much attention to, oh, that person is white, etc., etc. We just look, okay, different skin color, but we still treat you as people. You know, but we get excited over there. We see the car, because we're young. We see the car, white person in the car. We think, damn, we just play around. That's it. Nothing much, you know.
But bro, I like another thing as well, yeah. The weather, bro, the weather is horrible, bro.
Oh, it's hot.
It's no, hot. Not even hot, it's cold, man. It's hot and cold.
Well, here?
Yeah, man.
What's it called?
It's cold.
What's that word, bro?
Grey skies.
No, for bipolic weather, bro.
Bro, yeah. There's so many things, bro. Like, you know, things that you don't know. There's like seasonal, whatever, disorder, whatever, where people are like in seasons. Winter time. They're like sad. I'm like one of them, bro. In winter time, bro. I swear down, bro.
In winter time, what?
I'm sad, bro. It's cold. I don't know what.
I didn't even know about this.
SAD something like something disorder, this, like seasonal disorder or something. Yeah. So winter time. What are you laughing, man?
Don't even tell me winter time. You're sad, bro.
Winter time, I'm sad, bro. Like for real, man. Winter time is like.
What, summertime, you're happy.
I've got hay fever, bro. Not even summertime. I wish we in winter. You know why? Because of hay fever. My hay fever is really bad, bro.
What the hell? Nah, but that's crazy. So
that the weather.
Yeah, they don't
like you don't know, bro, how cold it is, bro, and like it's so miserable, bro. There's like barely any sun. We get like sun only for like a month or weeks, but it's not really enough. When it's hot, it's hot, bro. You just wanna be indoors.
Yeah, also I feel like they don't tell you about it's not like they don't tell you, but you see with the cultural things, I think that the British people actually enjoy Christmas. They're very excited about it. Whereas if you look at black people, like Africans, I don't know, you could be from anywhere. It depends on your situation. But when it comes to Christmas times, we're not really excited like that.
Bro, here there's like Christmas trees everywhere, Christmas lights every street. The
Christmas trees get set up before even,
Start
20 days before Christmas.
Imagine, bro.
And the lights are always on. You're thinking, hey, man, how much you paying for electricity? You're moving, comfortable. You see the house is shining and all that, and I'm just looking at it. I never seen the
Christmas like
this over there,
bro, we can't even see it, bro. But you know, our Christmas, bro, like it was. I feel like our Christmas when we were young in Africa was the best, bro.
It's all in the best
that, I don't think we'll ever enjoy our Christmas like we did before. Yeah. Remember, like, even like, you know, it was everyone was looking forward to Christmas, but not the way these lot are doing here. But like, you know, on Christmas Day, everyone will be like screaming, oh, it's Christmas, kissables, kissables.
You know, I went over this fact, right? I was in SA traveling, and I was Uber driver, right? He said to me, you know, I've realized something about black people and white people. I said, what? He said, they are always prepared, organized. You know, when it comes to Christmas, it's not like black people blow the money, next day they're back to work. White people, no, they've got a plan. Christmas, we're gonna enjoy dinner, go for dinner, have a Christmas dinner, or it's just a home dinner. After that, we're gonna plan a holiday, go somewhere. It's planned, organized, the money's there. You know, black people would just you go to work, you keep going to work. I'm excited for December. Why you keep saving?
Our people, bro, is like we love thing enjoyment, but you know,
temporary enjoyment.
If you were given a chance, bro, to go back to Zim and knowing how UK is, right? Would you take the chance to come here?
You know what it is, I wouldn't take the chance.
Why?
I would only take the chance if I see myself comfortable. You know, if I'm comfortable going back and I know I'm gonna be living all right. Not saying I had a rough lifestyle, I had a perfect lifestyle. I enjoyed my time, you know. Obviously we didn't grow up poor. We grew up all right. We had food, you know. But like I said,
so you mean even same food every day?
You know that one. My grandma's cooking was good though. But what I'd say is I'd go back knowing I'm comfortable going back and I've got my peas. Not saying I'm coming here to steal you people's jobs. I'm not.
But you know another thing, bro, there's so much pressure to succeed, you know.
Oh, bro.
When you come here, bro, because when you like obviously from Africa or from wherever, like whether it's Asia or whatever, when you're migrating especially to the UK, bro, there's so much pressure to succeed, not just for like pressure from anyone, but pressure from yourself, because I need to succeed, I need to work, I need to make it. And bro, like, and the thing is, the struggle is real, bro. There's some days, bro, I'm telling you, bro. Yeah, you go to bed only with the noodles, bro. Only just said noodles, bro.
Bro.
And it's just so tough, bro. You just keep working, working, because you got so much pressure and you end up being stressed. And like that stress ends up leads to like mental health. Because like, bro, when we went Zim, we never really knew about mental health. If anyone had like mental health, they were like, oh, he's bewitched or something or whatever.
You know, I've clocked that stuff, though. Like, for example, right? You tell an African parents sometimes, oh, I'm depressed, I'm stressed. They'll look at you and say, what's that? Depressed, stressed, what are you talking about? Go read some books or something.
I think they know, but the fact that we like Africans, they kind of expect a lot more from their kids, and like they don't really, I think like their generation is different to our generation because like they were built different in terms of like mental health, in terms of like opening up. They were just like taking it, bro, as it is, man. But as us, bro, we like a small thing, bro. We like, man, I'm struggling this thing, you know. You're like, I'm suffering here mentally. But I think it's like here, it's like we've been conditioned to like kind of have those mental, which is good. I mean, obviously we gotta open up, but I feel like here it's more common than back home, like, you know, being able to have mental not issues, but like, you know, stress and sad, like just like being more mentally vulnerable. It's like, you know, more common here. And mental health, bro, is
I think
I didn't really know about mental health until I came to the UK, and like I had no idea what it is, you know. But I think we back home, we're not really educated in that way.
Nah, but I'd say if you're moving here or moving to I think just prepare for war. And when I say prepare for war, I mean mentally.
Yeah, man.
And physically as well. Just depends on what you're planning to do with your life, right? So when I say prepare for war mentally, I mean prepare to go through absolute hell.
With them shifts, man.
Yeah.
The shifts are long, bro.
Hey, just prepare. Stress is in bills, because here in the UK, bills are everything taking over.
Pricey, bro.
It's getting high, bro. It's getting high.
It's getting mad.
There were times where I'd walk into, like, for example, when I was going to high school, right?
Yeah.
I remember mom would just give me £20.
£20?
£20.
That's a lot of money,
£20 a week, right?
Oh, a week.
And that would just last me the whole week.
Yeah, I thought £20 a day.
If I'm saving it proper, right? Well, at the time, things were cheap. I remember going into Tesco's, buying a Lucozade and sweets and all that stuff. I thought, I'm good, because that's all I needed, man. I didn't need much. And I'd see like different kids spending, like coming in with like 60, 50 quid a week. And then before the weekends, they've already blew it.
Yeah,
man. Mackies, et cetera, I'm thinking, right. And it was a crazy thing, man. That's one of those things, culture sort of things, that we do things differently. My question to you, bro, is are we losing our culture or actually evolving it?
That one, bro, I think it's a very difficult one. I think we are kind of in between. Like sometimes I feel like we are losing our culture, especially in, you know, like in terms of like our mother tongue. A lot of people don't even want to speak to you, you know, to you about, you know. For example, you remember when you were going to school, I would ring you when you're on the bus or whatever. Yeah, another one. Bus, boost.
See, it's coming in there, you know.
In the bus, boost. In the bus, in the boost.
I used to say I'm on the bus.
I'm in the bus.
No, I'm in the bus.
I mean,
because I think you meant to say I'm on the bus.
I'm on the train.
That's how they say it, though. I'm on the bus.
I'm in the bus.
But
then
it's like,
yeah, it's on the bus.
I used to say to mom,
I'm in the bus,
and then everyone is just like,
it's
on the bus.
It's on the bus,
I'm thinking,
bro. Yeah, like, you know,
inside.
I think like with that one, it's a good one, because I was saying, like, you know, when you were going to school, I'll ring you, because I like to speak our language when I'm speaking to you or mom or anyone that I know, that, like, you know, they're from our motherland. But I'll speak to you in like in our language when you're thinking.
Yeah.
And you were so embarrassed, man. You would even answer. I'll be like, hello, Driz, Driz.
You know that one. You know
I'll be like, hello. And you'll be like, and at that time, English was so hard.
Yeah.
Because we didn't really know how to speak English. We were like, struggle, yes, man. Hey, hi, my name is, you know. And yeah. I was because I was like speaking to you in our language because that's what we're like.
Yeah,
knew.
That's what we knew.
And then you were like, just be dead ass embarrassed to like kind of speak to me in that language.
Yeah.
But like, I think like that was like, you know, not a sign of like losing our culture, but I felt like you were not like trying to stay connected to your
those yeah, I get what you mean.
There's like a lot of people as well that like, you know, they come here maybe a little bit young or older, like teens and stuff, and they know how to speak their mother language fluently.
Yeah,
but then once they like start interacting with other people, like especially like English people or, you know, Asian people, like, you know, when they speak English and stuff, they don't want to speak their mother tongue. And like and I'm like, come on, bro, like, you know, I only speak English, obviously, in this podcast, or when I'm at work, you know, when I know I'm getting paid, you know, or when
you know this game,
when you know I'm getting paid, speak English, but when it's like I'm talking to family or anyone from like, you know, back home, like I speak our language in Debele, bro. Hey, I'm Johnny Jake, you know. Hey. I remember like few weeks ago, I rang one of the guys I went to boarding school. We spoke for a bit. And then, like, I spoke to him, like, in our language. He goes, ah, you still speak Ndebele? I'm like, yeah, bro. He's like, ah, man, I thought, you know, like, now you speak English. I said, no, man, like, you know, I even said, yo, listen, I still listen to Rumba, bro. I still listen to, like, you know, them songs we grew up
listening.
Dangerous. That's true. But we never really knew Chapreza until we were, like, we were a little bit older.
I think,
Mogi's Connection, Dorane Super Sound. Those are like the things that I still listen to them.
I'm listening to DJ Call Me.
DJ Call Me. But then we like with them songs, we are so hard to get, like, get them on a CD or whatever, or someone send you on a Bluetooth.
It was crazy times.
Like, I feel like with our culture, there's other things as well that I see, you know, in terms of like people dressing up, you know, African attire and stuff like when I feel like sometimes they're just doing it for the gram, for Instagram. They're doing it for the pictures, for fashion. They're not really doing it for our culture. We're not really, you know, sticking to our roots. I feel like sometimes in order for us to kind of stay connected to our roots, we need to interact with people that are from like the same environment like as we were from. Because obviously you're not going to like chill with English people and expect
to. Also, I want to speak on that. I think like I appreciate where you come from more and appreciate your culture more,
yeah,
and kind of just keep that with you and, you know, respect that that's who you are, accept that's who you are.
But a lot of people are not accepting that, like,
oh bro, no as soon as people come to England, people change. You still have
in it, bro.
I've seen okay,
I can't speak it, but I understand it. Yeah, man, like, what you mean, man?
How does that even like for me, if you're my child and you don't speak, you coming up with this, I don't speak it, but I understand it, I will force you
right in the belly.
I'll force you. In fact, you're not going to school until you learn that language for sure. You know, just like that straight.
We can't even speak our language though, like, you know,
nah, you know what it is, Shona Kalanga, that's not me, you know. I'm not there. You know, as much as I wish I was there, like, I could, you know, speak in Shona, but you know, I don't know why we got this beef between Shona and Zulus. Like, what's going on there?
There's so much beef, bro. Like, you know, I thought it was like just in Zim, like, you know, Ndebele's and Shona, but even here, bro, UK, bro, like, Ndebele's and Shona, it's like, water and oil, man.
I walked in, you know, these are my piano events,
yeah.
Bro, I walked in there, and obviously, I meet these people, and they were chatting, Oh, so which part of Zim are you from? I tell them, you know, where I'm from, etc. Right? Oh, what language do you speak? See, now I realize as soon as they ask you what language you speak, if a Shona is asking you what language you speak and you say, oh, I speak Zulu on the belly, right? The conversation after that is awkward as hell.
Yeah, man.
Awkward as hell.
It's like, you know, they just don't rate you, man.
It's like we don't rate each other.
Or sometimes, well, when you like, you meet them or whatever, they ask you, oh, where are you from? You're like, oh, I'm from Zim. Ah, Oribo!
Moribo!
Like, what you mean, like, bro? Not everyone from Zim is Shona, you know. Like, I don't have anything like against Shona. I've got friends that
is a Shona person ever started a conversation with you in Shona, right?
Yeah.
And after that, you just think, I'm not Shona.
You're like, bro, I don't even understand what you're saying.
They carry on, right?
Yeah.
But what I would like is, you know, with the power of evolving it, what I would like is for us to accept, okay, we're both from the same country.
Yeah,
just come together. We speak different languages. It's like, for example, right, we're talking about being from Pakistan, Bangladesh, there's different type of Asians. They accept that they all speak different languages,
and they accept what they are as well.
They learn as well. They're not shy to learn each other's languages, so that way they kind of flow understanding each other. So I wish it was like that for Shonas and Zulus, where we accept each other and, you know, we come from the same country. Oh, of course, Mugabe or something, but we're not going to get into that now. But let's just come together as people, and that's it. Because I'm tired of this, oh, you're Shona, you're Zulu.
Bro, it's like, you know, like you made a good example there. Like, I feel like, well, it's something that I've seen, you know, when you look at like the Asian people, especially like Pakistani or whatever, Bangladesh, when they speak to each other, bro, they speak their language, bro, they speak in their own language, bro. But when it's us, bro, the darkies, bro, the Zimbos, there's like, we just like try and like just speak English or whatever, bro. Like, nothing is wrong with that, but then I feel like we're just losing who we are. We're just trying to like, I think we try so hard to fit in, with the UK culture. We need to know who we are, we need to stand our ground and stuff, but then it's just long, bro.
I'll say, all right, it's also beautiful how I've seen, like, you know, someone from Bangladesh and someone from Pakistan, right?
Yeah, because they are those the only people you know in Bangladesh.
No, it's just that I work with them, you know. And the way they speak to each other, and one is from India.
Yeah.
So there's three of them, Bangladesh, Pakistan, and India, right? And they speak to each other like brothers, you know. And you can tell that there's no levels of being critical to each other, like hating each other. It's that bond, you know, and I wish we had that in our culture, but we never know, man. We might change something.
We don't like each other, though.
No, that's the thing, though. Like,
so how are we like meant to be building our culture? Yeah, but
you
and
see,
stuff,
this,
like, you
know? I'm a piano. I feel like it's been a good it's been a good thing for the culture.
Yeah, it's kind of that's the only time people.
That's the only thing that kind of people
the
together
same,
from what
same movement. Yeah.
Bombo club. We're going straight from Jamaica. Jamaica. Then people like, I'm a piano, bro. Yeah. It's crazy.
People
you
from
know, they like it more
Nigeria,
than us,
bro.
Yeah, bro. They like it more than us, bro. And it's like, that's it right there. That bond. You like my piano? I like my piano. Just one topic that would just put two people together, just like that.
Yeah,
just
that's it. Like, man. Anything else, music. Like, just, yeah.
It's crazy.
Other than that, there's just nothing we have in common. But, like, you know, another thing, bro, is, it's been like, I don't know, man. Do you believe in Amadlozi, man?
Hey, damn.
Do people even, like practice it?
You gotta say that for the English, bro, to hear what that
is. What's Amadlozi in English?
Madlos is pretty much like
spiritual, like you're
spiritually attacked or something like that.
Attack,
you know what I mean? You know, Madlos, bro.
I think
what does it even?
I don't know how to explain it in English. Yeah, but
is it like when someone prays for you and you see the person is just like waking up, like their spirit is kind of waking up, but they've got some spirit in there that's not right, because you see that.
That's there different, was, bro.
Yeah, but what's that, though?
That's like, Amadlozi, bro, it's just, I don't know how to explain this, man, but Amadlozi, bro, it's like traditional, you know, like, before Christianity, like, kind of took over in Africa and stuff, like, we're, like, you know, believing in Amadlozi.
Like witch doctors.
No, bro, witch doctors in Yang, ain't it?
Don't consume me on that one.
So, like, before, like, you know, Christianity, like, people were worshipping, like, you know, practicing in Amadlozi. I think that's, but, like, I want to know that, you know, I want to know our roots. Not that, like, I want to practice Amadlozi, yeah? but I want to learn it and know, you know.
They play.
No, not like juju and, you know, like witchcraft and all that stuff.
No, no, no. Hey, don't scare the people away now, bro.
But like, just like, you know, how things were, like, you know, in the olden days. Because I know there's some people back home that still practice amatlos and stuff. Oh, but yeah. I don't want the bad stuff. I don't want to know the bad stuff. I want to know the good stuff, you know. Because some people like just stuck on in amatlos. But like, remember, like when we were growing, like our grandfather, Damashwai, you know, when they dance like cha 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 cha. You know, bro, you were young, man.
I remember them, bro. I remember.
And like the spear and the
arrow thing. Yeah, I remember we talking about it.
Broski
really deep into the culture.
Bro, like, those are the things, bro, like, that we as people, right, like, our people, I feel like we need, even if we're not practicing, but we need to know who we are. But I feel like that's just lost in the way, because, like, all this westernized, you know, like, we got now, like, you know.
Do you think, right, before I'm going to jump into the colonization, right, do you think, before the British came, to you know, our people, before, like, do you think they believed in Jesus or they believed in someone else? Like,
I mean, obviously,
should I say, like, Jesus?
Christianity? Obviously, there's like there was Christianity in Ethiopia, you know, like Ethiopian Orthodox and stuff, which was long, long before. I think this is like a topic for another day, because like this is another topic that I'm really, really interested in, you know.
Very keen.
But you know, Christianity was already there in Africa, like especially in Ethiopia.
Oh, yeah.
But like in our, obviously where we come from, like I don't think it was there, obviously, because it came with the colonizers.
Oh, yeah.
It was just like amatlos, which I was saying before, like where people were worshipping, you know, the people that have kind of died. And like,
so you went back into the Shaka Zulu era, right there. The era. You know, because... Me, when someone asks, like, okay, so you're from Zim.
Yeah.
Yes. They say, oh, what language do you speak? So as soon as I say Zulu, they think of Shaka Zulu.
But we don't really speak Zulu, though.
Yeah, but, you know, I know, but I'm proud.
You're proud about Ndebele?
Yeah, I know, but look. What
proud
someone
of
says,
what?
You know when someone says Shaka Zulu?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. The warriors, yes.
Why not Lobe Nguna?
I'm one of them.
Why not? You don't want to be like associated with Lobe Nguna?
Hey,
to be associated, because he sold our country to the colonizers.
I don't agree to sell the country, whatever. I just agree with that heart of a warrior, you know.
You know, proud to be Zimbabwe warrior.
On that one there, you know, let's just,
you know, do you know what Zimbabwe means?
No, I'll be so real with you. I'm from there, but you're putting
okay,
me on
I'm
spot.
Gonna think, I'll give you a clue. Yeah, I mean, Zimbabwe, what do you think that means?
We are,
we are what?
We are Zimbabwe.
No,
no, what does it mean?
Zimbabwe, I think it's like a house of stone.
House of Stones.
Yeah, Zimbabwe. I think it's Shona or
that's
something.
That's crazy.
But yeah, I mean, because you never learned history in back home.
That's the thing, though. That's the thing. That's what we're talking about. Like, are we losing our culture? And I feel like, because
you've never been taught that. Yeah,
I never been taught that. Not even in my primary school. Bear in mind, in primary school, I went to Zim.
Yeah.
So I never got taught about our history.
History, yeah. You don't know who Lobe Nguna is.
No. Only thing we kind of knew was just like the names.
Yeah.
I mean, we might have gotten a little bit, just a tiny bit of history, but they're not very, what's it called? Compulsory. You know that word there? Yeah, yeah. See, they don't enforce it.
Yeah.
Nah, that sounds bad, you know. But you know, like, if you come here to England, right? Especially when you come as an immigrant, you gotta do the life in the UK test and etc. You gotta do their history, know their history. Over there,
I'll stop you right there, bro. In Africa, bro, they were teaching us European history. They were teaching us about Mussolini, Hitler, all these other people, bro.
Nothing
yeah.
that has but, to do with.
But they were not really teaching us our own history properly.
Blind.
Like, why were we learning about the European history? Like, not learning about. I think like they should have, like, even now, I like, I'm telling all the teachers in Africa, teach your kids your history, man. Like, cause a lot of people down here, bro, like,
no vision.
A lot of people from here, bro, like here from our country, bro, that grew up in, you know, our country or whatever, they don't know their history because, like, it's not really taught like that. We know European history.
That's the crazy part,
bro. We know, like, Nicolas Zah or whatever, all them people, bro, like in Europe, that we don't even, they don't even do anything for it. They don't even change Africa, bro.
That's a crazy part.
So, like, our history, like, our culture has just been lost.
When we, you know, we get into the topic of evolving it, right? What do you think we're doing, or the African parents are doing, to evolve our culture? Or is there something we could do about it? Because I feel like there's something we could do about it, and something I feel like we're kind of doing, but it's not as
effective. Well, that one, I think there is. You know, have you seen them? There's been like a few events of, like, you know, them Zim culture, whatever, the Bene cultures and stuff like that. There was one last year, but you know, that one you went by. But there was one a few days ago. I was meant to go, but then I ended up not going, which I wish now, I wish I did. But it was about, like, you know, our history, you know, like our culture, basically. So I feel like there are things that are happening. For people, there's opportunities there. Like, I know it happens like once a year or whatever, but for people to get to know who they are, know where they come from, because a lot of people just
stay in touch with your people, basically.
Yeah, I mean, stay in touch. But then at the same time, there's like, we can't stay in touch with our people. We just can't interact with it. We just only interact when there's music, or there's parties, or there's food or whatever.
I figured out, with all these like events, interactions, as black people, we can't keep the peace.
That's
what I realized.
There's always war.
There's always someone getting fired. In a fight, someone getting stabbed. But it's like, how can other cultures respect us when we are kind of
We can't even respect ourselves.
We don't respect ourselves. And when it comes to events, as in the events that kind of bring good vibes, there's always someone coming in with a negative vibe. Come on, man.
Like, why?
Come on now.
Do you think people still care about the world anymore?
You know what? I think there's a very small percentage of people that care about the world, right? But then there's a very high percentage of people that only care about themselves and their surroundings, what they're doing, families, etc. You know? But it's kind of like caring about the world, but you kind of not. You know what I mean? In the sense of how I see things going on in the world right now, is it doesn't showcase that humans really do care and respect the earth,
or just one another.
Because we're just here, right? And for example, I see we're destroying the world, wars,
this wars,
crime, pollution, littering. You know, it's like we don't respect the environment we're in, because the environment you're in actually shows a lot about you as a person. So if your environment is not clean, other people are not going to look at you and think, I can respect that human being. He's very clean. He cares about his surroundings. He cares about his world. But your question is, do people even care about the world? I think, like I said, some people do, some people don't.
I think people care, but they choose what to care about. There's some things that, like, they know it's happening, but they're like, nah, that's not my problem, you know. For example, there's like all these wars happening in Congo, Rwanda, you know, Yemen, Iran, and, you know, this Israel thing, and Russia, and
which one?
President Zelensky. Ukraine.
Ukraine.
I mean, I feel like people choose what, you know, what they want to care about. Like, you know, there's a lot of things that are happening, but people know what's happening, 100%. But they're just like, that's not my problem. You know, that doesn't really bother me. Like, you know, for example, these wars that you're talking about, like, there's a lot of things that are happening in Congo. People are dying. Like, a lot of people being slaughtered all the time. there's wars in like Somalia, all these countries, bro. Iran and Israel now, they just did their little drama thing. And then there's like Ukraine and Russia. But like the people that are like showing that they care but they don't really care is like these people that are in power, because some of them, they've got something to gain, some of them, they've got something to lose. But I think like as people, just normal people, we just choose what to care about. But for me, like I read some of these stuff almost every day, and I feel like there's a lot of things that are going on, and I'm like, this is really sad. And like some of the people that, some of the things that people are doing, it's like really, really inhumane, you know, like abnormal. Like, why are we even doing these things, man? Like, you know, it's just sad, man. It's a sad world, man. Like, just people just choose to like ignore so many things are happening, man. But it's like people are like, they've got this mentality like it is what it is, man. Like,
you know,
which I think sometimes it can be like,
but
good and bad. But like,
there's also something I want to add on that, bro. Sorry to cut you off here, but I feel like, okay, there's people, the people that care, right? And there's been a lot of people that cared, but they thought, you know what? Even my caring, you know, doesn't change anything, bro. And, you know, you could, because I've had this conversation before, right? Where I said, look at how the world is going. We got homeless people, we got wars going on, and yet the money doesn't help the people. Nah, even though they tell you the money's going. But like, and also, if the country is getting poor, whatever, right, and you're losing money, why do you guys give out so much money to entertainers? Like,
yeah, bro, football, some of these people, like, they're already like living their best life, man.
Like, yeah, and it's like that money that's used on that footballer could change the world, could change certain things about the environment, change certain
things. I understand things. They work hard for it, you know, they deserve it and stuff, But there's some footballers though that give out, you know, a lot of money, but I feel like some of these organization people, they've kind of lost respect, or like, just like the will to give, because like some of these organizations, like, you know, charities, they like they've been dodgy, and they've got like some stories. So people are like, do we really need to give our money to these people if it's not gonna cause, like, there's some, bro, like these charity people that are like worth millions and millions, bro. You're like, okay, where are you getting this money from? Is it from donations or what? Yeah. And you hear like, oh, this 50p can save a kid in Africa and stuff like that, yeah. And you're asking yourself, is it really going to Africa though, or it's just going to your pockets,
like,
you know?
I feel like that's the thing. We hear about it, but we don't see it.
We don't see it, man. You know, and it's like,
donations going there.
We grew up in thing, Emakaya, bro. Did you ever see any donations from, like, you know, the USAID or...
Nah.
It was the only time, bro, like I seen, like, it was in 2008, bro, in primary school. Remember when we used to eat barley and peas? That's like the only time that I seen, maybe, like, I don't even know where it was coming from. Some people are saying, oh, it's coming from Russia or whatever, UNICEF or whatever, them things. Yeah, I feel like they work, this organization, they work where they want them to work, but not where they are meant to be work or needed to be working, because there's a lot of people, bro, that need these things, but the world just turns a blind eye or just like choose, or okay, like, that's just, you know, that's let them starve, let them, like, it doesn't concern me.
Yeah, and also I see that there's as humans, right, certain humans, like you were saying, they only care about themselves, right? And I realized as humans, there's a thing we're doing where we only think about ourselves as humans,
but then
we're not caring much about nature.
Nah,
you know, because nature plays a very important role,
big time,
into our life, our breathing. But yet humans destroy that stuff, you know. Wars as well. A child who's just born gets killed. The world, does that show the world cares anymore? No, not really.
They just move on.
Just what I've seen is more money is what people care about in this world. And
yeah, bro.
And you know what's funny, since, I mean, I know I'm going off topic, but nowadays I've seen friends choose money over friendship.
Yeah, man, it's like,
it's crazy.
Right now it's like the norm, you know, it's like the normal thing to do, like, just like, you know, chess money, like, you just, everything else, friends, family, like, some people, they're like, money comes first, money. I understand, it's like, you know, we're here to, in this world, to make money, right? Oh, like, yeah. I'm not in the world to make, I'm in this country to make money, but in the world, there's more purpose than, you know, to make money. You know, we're all here for a purpose, and everyone, each and every one of us, we got a purpose, and I feel like, some of those purposes that we've got is like to help each other wherever we can, you know. Obviously, I can't stop the war in Ukraine or whatever, right? But what I can do is pray for those people, you know. Also, maybe like if we're talking about it here, some of those people can understand that, like, there's some people out there that are seeing these things happening. There are people that are noticing that, okay, this is what's happening, and those things are wrong. Obviously, we're not going to pick sides. We just want to be like real within ourselves and real with the things that we talk about. We don't want to like choose sides with, okay, I'm siding with this thing. We just want to be like, tell the truth. We're gonna, this is wrong, you know, this shouldn't be happening. And like, I feel like just now with the mainstream media, they just like, because they have to make money, these big programs, news agencies and stuff, they have to make money. So they have to try and make a story, even if it's not true. They just have to try and put some BS stuff there.
I've got a question for you, though.
Yeah, man.
If there was if the world only allowed one president,
yeah,
combined for every country, right? You've the power is in your hand for every country, right? Every continent, right? How would you run the world?
How would I run the world?
But yeah, how would you do that?
First, bro, I would say, as soon as, like, let's say I run the world, yeah, I would, like, have a task force for corruption, for anti-corruption, bro. Everyone who is corrupt, they go to jail, bro. And, like, no visit, no sunlight, just straight up, like
vampires,
like just straight up locked in, bro. Like, no, only thing you get is just food, nothing else, bro. Like, you know, because corruption is destroying the world, bro. And like, you know, all these, some of these leaders, bro, I would just say, like, I don't know, man, it's just difficult, bro, like, because it's hard to run the world, bro.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of responsibility that anyone thinks, you know.
Yeah, it's because the only person that can lead this world, bro, is
also, you
the
know,
King of Kings is, you Christ. Know, Jesus Christ, you know, Christ. It's God, man. Other than that, like, Christ. no one else can run this world. But obviously, we got this, we need these leaders, at least to lead us. But unfortunately, they're not really leading us, they're just destroying us.
My sort of, like, what's it called? I've got another thing where I've seen, like, it's a question sort of thing, right? Why is it like when we pick in the UK, when they pick a prime minister, why do they think everything he does is his responsibility? Is his saying,
bro?
Because there's always someone above.
The yeah, man. There's
to
always
from
someone
that person,
like running
answer.
These things.
Exactly,
there's
bro.
Always
it's
someone
crazy.
In control. There's someone in suits, bro. Telling
exactly,
these man
bro.
What to do, man.
Aliens and all that. But
alien, you believe in aliens?
Hey, bro.
You
that's another topic to cut there.
Do you
bro.
Believe in aliens?
Of
though?
Course, I do, bro. I believe. If you look at the world, right, there's what we're talking about, the galaxy,
billions
bro, or planets, right? And you're telling me we're the only life. It can't be right.
I don't know, man.
We'll see, man.
Hey, but I think, bro, I'm not gonna overshare it here, man. I'm not gonna overshare.
Do you believe in aliens?
Do I believe in aliens? I don't know.
Stay tuned.
I don't know.
Stay tuned,
man.
We
bring you in studio today.
You know how it goes. But, hey.
I think, like, it's been, we tried our best. Obviously, it's our first episode, and we appreciate
it, bro. Hey, to our first journey, bro. Let's just say that this is the beginning. You know,
we're in the beginning.
We're starting something here, bro.
Yeah, man. And obviously, thanks to those that tuned in, and obviously thanks to the people that have supported us from day one. I know it's been a lot of struggle, man, but we made it, man.
If you made it to the end with us, just give us a like, feedback, you know, we'd appreciate that.
Yeah, 100%.
And it's been Drizz and my brother AK, man. And we're starting this journey. We're very excited.
It's all out, man. It's
something we've been looking forward to. And to our amazing audiences out there. Hey, Mom, shout out to you as well, you know, for, you know, actually, you know, giving us the motivation to actually start this thing.
Yeah, man.
Hey, always shout out to your parents, man. But hey, it's been my brother, you know, and me starting this podcast, Culture and
In Curves.
Curves. Thank you, brother.
Check us out on TikTok, Instagram,
on
Culture and Curves Pod, you know,
all platforms.
All platforms, yeah.
Well, we soon open Spotify as well.
Yeah, Spotify as well.
Listen to us.
Well,
what else you on that driving journey, taxi journey, train journey?
Anything, man. Just put anything in the background. You know, we appreciate the support. And obviously, like you said, the feedback. We really need the feedback, obviously, to make our next episodes better.
Exactly. And like Bob Marley said, one love. That's
one love, yeah, man.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.